Hello, everybody, and welcome to our little corner of the internet. My name is James Bradley. I'm the pastor of First Free Will Baptist Church in Morehead City, North Carolina. Today, we're going to be talking about the Trinity. Once again, thank you for coming. In today's text, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 6 and go to verse 12. Verse 6 says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, before we start going deep into the Trinity here, I want us to get a few things straight. First thing, trying to convey the Trinity is like trying to explain something you've never seen before, or as if a deaf person would try to describe music, or a blind person describing color. There is nothing in this entire world that perfectly illustrates the Trinity. So please, don't be harsh. There is so much that the Bible teaches us that we don't know all the things about, but yet we understand its purpose and its reason for being there. To illustrate that, there are two things that really just stick out in my mind. The first one being wind. We know where wind is. We can feel it. We can sense and direction is turning by like a flag, but we don't know where it's going to be in 5 minutes. We don't know where the wind came from in the beginning, and we don't know where wind starts. It just kind of all rotates chaotically around the world, and we just kind of monitor it the best that we know. We know wind, but we can't predict it. And another thing is, like, your appendix. You really don't know what it's there for. Even to this day, there are articles about what it could possibly be for. But the appendix is one of those things that's shrouded in mystery. While there is some good facts about what it could be, it's not proven. And so while we don't know every detail about the appendix or the wind, we do know a lot about how it applies to us. And the Trinity is the same way. We may not know every detail, but we know exactly how it applies to us. How the Trinity was first illustrated to me was by prisms. A prism is a triangular or pyramid-shaped glass object that, when sunlight or white light hits it, it fractures into all the colors of the spectrum. It teaches us that there are actually lots of colors inside that one light. And the same it is with the Trinity. There is one God. But in that one God, there are three different entities that which we know of. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second illustration that I find close to my heart is one that really came to me when I was trying to explain that to somebody. And that is a paper plate illustration. On one side of the paper plate here, we have reality, or truth. And this being the idea that there is a one true God, and that he is this omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent being, this one God that controls everything and has the ability to do anything. And on the other side of this piece, on the other side of this paper plate, we have perception and how we see things. Now, with this paper plate, I would like us to put three holes. One, two, three holes. And in these three holes will be just long enough to where we can put our fingers in them. And so we put our hand on the back end of the plate, and that being truth, and popping through the perception and how we see things. We see our three fingers, that being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And inside of this, we understand that we see these three caricatures all in Scripture, and we know their doings. We see God the Father being the Creator and the Heavenly Father over all of creation, the omnipowerful, the one that cannot be seen. And we have the Son. We see this as Christ, the Messiah, and the one born in flesh, so and that his death would be for our sins. And then the last one, we see the Holy Spirit, seen at Pentecost and seen from that time forward, so prevalently in the moving of God's Spirit amongst its people. Now, our perception is that we see these three characters in different light. But in reality, as we turn the paper over, we understand that all three are the same person. See, on the front side of our paper plate, the three are separated by time and place. We see God at the creating of the universe. We see the Son in the books and the Gospels. And we see the Spirit. And we even feel the Spirit in today's world. So they're kind of disconjointed in our perspective. But in truth, see, God's above time. And God penetrates time. And he's above time. And he's has complete control. Time does not control him. He controls time. And so he can implement himself, put himself in different places in our lives. He places us at the very beginning of creation, being the Father, and in the Gospels with his Son, and also in today's lives and in the hearts of its believers with the Spirit. You see, it's really one God in three different places. But even the paper plate illustration flawed in the different ways. You see, he was never separated. He has always been the same God. He was the Trinity at the beginning. He was the Trinity when he was on earth, and he's the Trinity even in our hearts. It's really difficult to explain, but that doesn't mean that we can't know the purpose. In this text, John continues to describe his purpose, and he constantly mentions this idea of a message that God brought, and they're in unison with this message. Now, what makes this text really interesting, especially in a study mindset, is that 11 times and a branch of the word martus is used in this text. In these six verses, 11 times. Now, and that's where we get our word martyr from. And a martyr is an individual who dies for his faith. What makes this interesting is that a martyr is always in the context that the martyr has a message to be said. Somebody who is proclaiming God, who is proclaiming his faith. And the same thing, same meaning is in this text. There is a message that the Holy Trinity is trying to convey. And so let's not get lost in the things that we don't understand and know that God Almighty is preaching a message that wants us to be understood. He wants it to be heard. And this message is what makes this text important. And what this text is important about is not more or less the Trinity, but about what that message is. And that message has always been about life. God giving life. And that's what God has always been about. Think back to the Garden of Eden at this dawn of creation. You know, when God created Adam and Eve and he gave them the garden to eat and to live, he didn't tell them that they had to pray, and he didn't tell them that they had to build monuments in his name. They didn't tell them that he had to praise and give song and create song to praise his holy name. No, he only gave them the garden to give them life, to share of this creative abundance, this love that God had. He wanted to give it to his creation. He, as a father to a son, he wanted to love people. That's what it's always been about. When we sinned, it separated that relationship between us and God. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, he mended that gap. He took our sins from us so that we could have a relationship with God again. Look back with me on the text. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. As we come to a close, I would like to ask you a couple questions, and to help bring this in full circle and to help apply something. Do we get wrapped up in the things that we have no control over, or that we do not fully understand? We can worry and we can panic and we can have all these things, but in the midst of that, I want us to see that that road ends at a dead end. There's no life at the end of that road. We'll just find something else to panic about, something else to complain about, something else to be misunderstood. But the bottom line is that the message of the gospel has never been anything that was negative. It has always been about life and love and forgiveness, mercy and grace and family. God wants us to be a part of His family. And if you haven't ever accepted that offer, if you've never accepted to be a child of God, then I would like to do that with you today. I would like you to make a commitment, and to do that, all you have to do is pray and commit yourself. You don't have to write it in the comments, and you don't have to call me. You just pray. You just talk. You talk to God, and you ask God to come into your heart, to forgive you of your past, and you commit to Him and His ways, and to walk in a way that's glorifying to God. And by doing that, we have life. We may not understand the intricacies of it, but we do understand the results. I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, to walk in His ways. And by doing that, we'll make the world a better place. We won't get so frustrated about the things we don't understand. We will strive to understand. We'll put forth our best effort. But at the bottom line of it, there's a lot of things that I'm not going to understand. But I can understand what it is that God wants for me. He's always wanted you to be saved. He's always wanted you to have life. And I hope that you'll accept Him. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a pleasure to do these videos. I hope and I pray that these videos are a blessing to you. And if they are a blessing to you, then I would really appreciate a like, a share. Like us on Facebook, like our church. And I know it means a lot to people who hear these messages, so share them. Share them and get the gospel message out there, because God is about life. God is about grace and mercy and second chances. He is my God, and He is the God of so many. And I don't want the good news to be shrouded in mystery. I don't want the good news to be overshadowed by all the bad. I want God to be promoted. This is the goal of every church. This is the goal of every message. And this is the goal of God's message, that He loves us, and that we are commanded to love others as He has loved us. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.